Well, good morning again. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the letter of Colossians. If you don't have a Bible with you, there are blue Bibles around you. Feel free to grab one of those and you can use that. Apologize for the really small print in those. You might need a magnifying glass, but it's okay. You'll figure it out. We're in the letter of Colossians together. We have been talking about this. We've been working through this letter for some time now. We're getting toward the end of this letter. In fact, we'll finish this up here in a few weeks. Lord willing, on Memorial Day weekend will be our last weekend in Colossians. Then we'll transition into, actually we're going to spend the summer looking at Genesis chapters 1 through 3. So I encourage you to come and talk about it. As we go into those passages, we're going to be talking a number of things, the purpose of humanity. Why did God create us? And then talking about manhood and womanhood, and what does it mean to be a man, and what does it mean to be a woman? What did God create, and what is temptation, and why did, or how does that happen in our lives? What is Satan doing to tempt us? And so there's going to be a wonderful time to kind of unpack the scriptures together. In this series, we've been talking about this walk it out concept, and really that comes from Paul's exhortation to us to walk out our faith, to walk out what it means to be a believer in Christ. And we had finished a series called Walk It Out in a New Reality, or Living Christian in a New Reality. And the whole idea behind that was that as believers in Christ, we have been recreated. We've been born again. We've been made new. That the authentic believer in Jesus Christ is one whose inner being has fundamentally changed. The spiritual DNA, if you will, has been changed from a tree that is not good to a tree that is good. Now, that doesn't mean perfection. That doesn't mean that at all. There's still kind of the residual effects. We talked about that with respect to Lazarus. Lazarus was a man that God raised from the dead, and that's a picture of us. We were dead, and he raised us to life. But when Lazarus came out of that tomb, he still had all the grave clothes wrapped around him. And the Lord says, okay, take those grave clothes off. And that's a picture of you and me walking through this life and needing the church and needing the Spirit of God to work in our lives to kind of remove all of that grave clothing from us. But we're alive. And so we live out that reality together. Now, this series we've been talking about living Christian in an everyday world. And so we began talking about wives and their responsibility in the home. And then we kind of shifted into husbands and their responsibility and really talked more about what love is. And then last week we talked about marriage and we talked about how marriage is to be missional. And encourage you, if you weren't here, to go back and listen to that message or to any of these that you've missed. And now we're moving on to Paul's continuing discussion of the family, and he takes on the issue of children. And so kids, the young people in here, this message is primarily for you this morning. Okay, but moms and dads are going to listen, I can assure you, because they want to know what I want to say to you. But moms and dads, I'm also speaking to you because you're going to help, Lord willing, come to a better understanding of what your responsibility is. And actually, as we wrap this message up, I'm going to directly speak to you as parents. Now, you might be thinking, I'm not a parent. I don't have children. And so I can check out. Or maybe you're like me and my kids are out of the house and I don't have to raise them anymore. They're all graduated and gone. And so I don't have to listen to myself. This message is for everybody here for this reason. Well, for many reasons, but at least for this one. We're going to be talking about obedience. And that has implications for all of us because really the obedience of a child and the family, much like the marriage is missional and is meant to display the love of Christ, the husband's displaying that love and the wife is displaying submission. Children, when you obey your mom and dad, you're actually displaying the gospel. You're displaying what it looks like to obey Christ. And so all of us, as we unpack what it means to obey, it'll help us to understand what does this mean to obey Christ. So, yes, I'm going to be talking specifically in some cases to parents, but if you're not a parent or to children, if you're not a child or a parent, you can still say, okay, what does that mean for me in Christ? What does that mean for my relationship with Him? And how does that play out there? Okay? So it has implications for all of us together this morning. Obedience is a pathway to prosperity. Now, I know that many of you are going, okay, well, did I come to the wrong church this morning? Because Kelly doesn't generally, this is not a place where we talk about, you know, the prosperity gospel. And this is not a message, kids, this is not a message about how you can follow a six-step plan and you'll be wealthy. Okay, that's not what we're going to be talking about this morning. The prosperity that we're talking about goes way beyond the prosperity of this world. It goes way beyond just what I can have in the here and now. Now, there are some blessings of obedience that have effect on us in the here and now, kids, and we're going to talk about that, but the greater prosperity that we're really thinking about is the prosperity of a long life in eternity with Christ and a flourishing of that relationship with Him. We're looking primarily at Colossians 3:20, but we're also going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and mainly because those are parallel passages and they kind of help explain one another. Ephesians, Paul does a little bit more there, and so we'll spend most of our time in Ephesians again, but he's just really saying the same thing that he said in Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, and let's read, you follow along while I read verses 18 through 20, through 4, chapter 1. Paul writes this, he says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service of those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our time. Father, I thank you for your word. It is truth. And Lord, I pray that as we unpack this together this morning, that you would guide me and that you would superintend what I say so that it is in line with truth. And Father, that your spirit would be at work in each heart here this morning, that you would allow your word to apply universally for everybody, regardless of whether they're children or parents. Lord, may we all hear from you this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've looked at this passage already. We saw this in the context of Colossians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Now, that's a little bit of a different translation there, but that's more literal of what it says. Children, obey your parents. That is a command to you in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. We're going to look at that together, but we're also going to look at this passage, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, where Paul writes, in essence, the same thing, but then goes on. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes from the Old Testament, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." So what we're talking about here is this idea. Children, obeying your parents pleases God and prospers you. Now, as I said, this has application to all of us. So we might say, everyone, obeying Christ pleases God and prospers you. But specifically, children, obeying your parents pleases God, and obeying your parents prospers you. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're talking about obedience, aren't we? Well, if we're going to talk about this, first of all, we have to ask this question. What is obedience? What is obedience? Well, let's give a definition, okay? Now, I know that many of you are going to follow along in your notes, and you know I have those little blanks for you to fill in. I apologize. I changed this just a little bit, so I'll explain as we go through. But here's the definition. Obedience is readily doing all that your parents ask in the manner and timing that they desire. Obedience is readily doing all that your parents ask in the manner and timing that they desire. Can we switch this to all of us? Obedience is readily doing all that Christ asks in the manner and in the timing that he desires. You see how this has application for all of us, but Paul is applying it to children, and so that's primarily what we're going to be doing this morning, is applying it to children and to parents. So, kids, mom and dad are wanting you to listen right now. Mom and dad are praying right now. They're saying, "Lord, open my child's ears to Pastor Kelly right now. Help them hear what I'm saying." And then, parents, you're probably tempted to get distracted and to be looking over at your child and say, "Are you listening? Are you listening?" No, don't do that. The Lord will take care of your kid this morning, okay? Obedience is readily doing all that. Let's break this down. First of all, obedience is readily doing all that your parents ask in a manner and timing they desire. Readily. In other words, they do it with the right attitude. And that's, by the way, the word that you're missing. If you're writing in those definitions in the timing, or the manner, timing, and attitude. So if you want to fill that in your notes, you can. But I took that out because this conveys that idea. An attitude of willingness. A readiness to do. So children, to obey your mom and dad is to have a readiness to obey them. An eagerness to say, okay, yeah, you bet, I'll do that. Anything you want. Right? Now, let's be clear here. This obedience is not without limit. This obedience is in Christ. And so when he says next, obedience is readily doing all that your parents ask, he's not asking you to do anything immoral. He's not asking you to follow your parents when they instruct you to do something that violates Scripture. Just like we talked about with wives in submitting to their husbands. And so kids, you don't have to lie for mom and dad. You don't have to do... Listen, we live in a broken world, don't we? What Paul is giving us here is an ideal circumstance. This is the way it ought to be. But when we look around this world, we see this isn't the way it is in many families. Parents, in many cases, are not in a position to be obeyed in many places, are they? There are many broken homes in which kids are being raised in horrible situations. And so this idea of obeying all that your parents say, it's not to run drugs for mom and dad, okay? It's not to lie for them. It's not to cheat for them. It's not that's you kids, you need to obey Christ. But when mom and dad tell you to do something that doesn't violate Scripture, you should do all that they say that you should do. All. He says, in fact, if you look at this passage, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. And then he goes on, we want to go on, is obedience is readily doing all that your parents ask in the manner they desire. So in other words, how they asked you to do it. So clean the dishes or whatever, and if you kind of do it the way, you know, just kind of haphazardly, and you didn't do it in the manner that they asked you to do it, you haven't really obeyed, have you? And then finally, in the timing that they desire. So, yeah, Mom, I never forget. I was sitting in my living room with all of my family, and it was my responsibility to do the dishes that week. We took a week of kitchen responsibilities growing up, and my mom was, she was a little frustrated with me because I wasn't getting right on getting the kitchen cleaned. There was a television program on that I wanted to watch, and so my mom came out and said, Kelly, you need to go clean the kitchen. Yeah, yeah, Mom, I'll get to it. Yeah, yeah, Mom. Yeah, Mom. Yeah, Mom. Yeah, Mom. Well, eventually my dad intervened, and I went and cleaned the kitchen. Timing. Obedience is doing it when your mom and dad want you to do it. And guess what? That's going to require you, oftentimes, kids, to set aside what you want to do at that moment and do what your parents are telling you to do. But isn't this the same in our relationship with Christ? He wants us to respond to him in the timing that he's asking us to respond to him. And oftentimes we want to say, yeah, Lord, I'll get around to that. Yeah, Lord, I'll get around to that. Yeah, yeah, eventually. But when he's saying do it now. Okay, so what is obedience? Well, first of all, obedience is an expression of honor. Paul in this passage says, children, honor your father and mother. He says, obey your parents. And he goes on and says, he quotes the Old Testament, honor your father and mother. Honor is actually broader than obedience, isn't it? Honor goes into respect and an endearment toward. It's an homage toward. And it includes obedience. Certainly if I honor someone, and particularly honor them in the role of leadership that God has given them, then I'm going to honor them by obeying them. And so obedience is a subcategory of honor. It's an expression of honor to your parents. So obedience is honoring mom and dad. And secondly, it's an expression of your need. It's an expression of your need. Children, obey your parents. You know what this says? The command to obey implies a greater need for wisdom than you currently possess. The command to obey implies a wisdom greater than what you currently possess. When God commands me to do something or not to do something, it's because He knows something that I don't know and that I need from Him. And children, you need your mom and dad to help you because you don't know everything. I know some of the teenagers might think you do. We've said growing up with our kids, it's like, oh, you better go out and get a job and get life now while you still know everything, right? But you don't know everything, and obedience is a recognition of my need. Danielle is my oldest daughter, and when she was real young, Tammy and I, we lived in this house that had the dining room and then kind of like a living room and then an entryway and then the kitchen, and it all kind of went around. And so our kids had, we had lots of fun running around in circles around this area. And we had gotten Danielle, she had a new pair of pants or something. And so she was trying out these new pair of pants. She was probably 3-4 years old at the time. And she was running around this area, and she put her hands in her pockets because the pants kind of felt cool for her. And so she was had her hands in her pockets, and she started running. And Tammy's like, Danielle, no, don't run. Don't run with your hands in your pocket. Well, she kind of ignored Mom, right? And she just kept running, and pretty soon you can imagine what happened. And she tripped, and you know what happens when you don't have hands when you fall? The face plant you do is just boom. Mom knew something that Danielle didn't.
Many times.
Mom knew the face plant that was possible by lacking obedience in that case. Your parents know. They've lived life a little bit. They understand. But for all of us, God knows infinitely. So when the Lord is telling you, listen, don't do this or do this, it's not because He hates you. It's not because He's this God up in the heavens saying, you know, I'm going to try to figure out how can I make this person's life miserable? How can I deny them any pleasure in life? How can I withhold from them? No. And more than likely, your parents aren't doing that either. Okay? We might be tempted to at times, but listen. God never does that, does He? When God is saying to you here, do this or don't do that, it's because He sees the big picture and He knows you're about to do a face plant if you don't listen. You need Him to help you in this. And so obedience is an expression of that need. Listen, Proverbs 12:1. I'm going to go back here just a second because this is going to use a word in here that it's in the Bible. And I look for another translation, by the way, and they all use this translation. All of the common translations use this. So this uses a word in there that we told our kids, this is a word you will not use in our home. But if the Bible uses it, the Lord is, he gets a pass here. He can use this word, okay? Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. That's that stupid word. You don't call your brother and sister stupid. But listen, the Lord can call you and me stupid when we don't listen to Him. When we despise reproof. When the parent comes along and reproves the child and the child says, I know better, that child is acting stupidly. When Christ is speaking to us through His word and when He brings people around us to give us counsel, and when we turn that away, we're acting stupidly. Okay, it's an expression of your faith. Obedience is an expression of your faith. Children, obey your parents. Okay, true obedience demonstrates true faith. I obey truly from my heart because I believe that what you're saying is good. So if Danielle really believed that it was a dangerous thing to run with her hands in her pockets, she would have taken her hands out of her pocket and said, oh yeah, okay, I trust Mom. She must be right. Right? Obedience is an expression of faith. In fact, James helps us here. In James 2:14, he says, someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith is demonstrated by what I do, by the obedience that I carry out. It shows that I believe what you're saying. And then obedience is an expression of your heart. Obedience is an expression of your heart. Children, obey your parents. True obedience is not just a show. It expresses sincerity of heart. Notice in this passage, just a little bit on here in Colossians 3:22, in context of slaves, he says, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth." And it's the exact same word and same phrasing that he uses for the kids. Children, obey. Not with external service, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So, in other words, when mom or dad asks you to do something, you do it from the heart. When my boys were teenagers, most of the time they actually enjoyed mowing the lawn. That was such a blessing to me because they enjoyed that. But there were occasionally times where I would have them to do something like that. And they would comply, but it would be like this. You get the lawnmower fired up and they're mowing along and they miss that little spot there. I don't care. I'm just getting the lawn mowed. I'm obeying my dad. Is that really what the Lord wants? Okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to. I'm not going to like it, but I'll do it because you told me to. That's not obedience, you see. Obedience is an expression of what's in my heart. True obedience comes out of a love and affection for my parent, a recognition that God has placed them there, and broadly, a love for Christ that leads me to obey Him. By the way, kids, you obey Christ through your parents. You obey Christ through your parents. Just like wives submit to Christ through their husband, children, you obey Christ in the way that you obey your parents. So think of it that way. When mom and dad are asking you to do something, ultimately it's not mom and dad asking you. It's Christ asking you. All right, we need to move on. So we talked about obedience. We asked, what is obedience? But then we need to ask the question, why obey? Okay, so why obey mom and dad? Well, first of all, because your obedience pleases the Lord. Look at what he says here in Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things because this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Your obedience to mom and dad gives pleasure and delight to Christ. Gives pleasure and delight to God who put you here and asked you to obey. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel says this. He's saying this to Saul. Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. What is it that God delights in here? Does he delight in you just doing what he wants you to do? Saul was bringing sacrifices. Saul was impatiently saying, we need to sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord had said, wait until Samuel gets here. You wait. But he was kind of impatient and he didn't want
to. I could do
it. It's a sacrifice, right? So he goes ahead and does the sacrifices. And when Samuel shows up and confronts him and says, you didn't obey the Lord, he said, but I worshiped him with sacrifice. I thought he wanted the sacrifice. Oh, but it's in this context, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Listen, as believers, let's step beyond kids for just a minute. Let's talk to everyone here. It is so easy to confuse this. It is so easy to mistake just kind of the things that I do with an obedience that is pleasing to God. The Lord delights in your obedience, and you want to obey Him because it delights Him. Not because that's what you're supposed to do and you're just kind of trying to keep the letter of the law. It ties back into that expression of the heart, doesn't it? You see, the Lord is not pleased with you going through the motions, and he's not even pleased with your religious activity. He's not even really pleased with your prayers and your time in the Word and your going to church and going to confession or whatever it is that you do as an expression of your religion. He's not ultimately concerned in that. He's concerned about what's in your heart. And this obedience that he's looking for is an expression of that heart. And it's that that pleases him. Mom and dads are not pleased just by this outward, external obedience. Christ isn't either. He's pleased by you obeying him. But listen, you see here the motivation for our desire to obey? It should come from us delighting in that which pleases God, shouldn't it? Do you know Christ? Do you see him as the beautiful one, as the one who gave his life for you, as the one who redeemed you and saved you and protects you? Do you see him that way? Are you in love with him? If you are, then wouldn't there be a desire then to please him? Kids, to please Christ is to obey mom and dad. It pleases him. For the rest of us, pleasing Christ is obeying Christ out of pleasure for him, out of a desire to see him delight in us. So why obey? Because obedience is right. Obedience is right. In Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Okay, so my youngest had this issue with fairness. How many of you parents have had a child? I mean, I shouldn't answer that question. You can think of this. You don't need to raise a hand or anything because your kids might be sitting next to you. So some of you might have a child that's prone to say, but that's not fair, right? That's not fair. Nathan had this deal where that was just a mantra for him for a while. And we struggled to try to help him. You know, we came up with that typical parental response. Life isn't fair, son, right? And it's not. So that was true. It just wasn't working. Let me tell you what did work. This is a bit of an aside, but and by the way, when I get back, we're going to continue talking, and we're going to talk directly to parents. And so we'll pick some of this up then. But when he was all in this fairness, I said, well, Nathan, listen, do you really want me to make your life fair? He was the youngest of three. Let's rehearse what you're able to do now. And you know how old Danielle was before she was able to do that? She was like 5 years older than you before we let her do that. So I think you're right. I think it's not fair. I think I need to stop letting you do all of these things that she got to do, didn't get to do until she was much older. You know what? It wasn't very long. It was like two or three conversations. They say, no, Dad, that's quite all right. Life isn't fair. And I'm okay with that. Okay? Fairness. Let me ask you, kids. This is to you, kids. Let me ask you something. Is this fair? Your mom spent, I know it varies from woman to woman, she spent 9 months approximately carrying you in her womb, and it was tremendously uncomfortable, in fact, toward the end especially. And she was probably puking her guts out in the first trimester. She was wrestling. It was really hard for her. And Dad had to endure that. And then you came out into the world, and you have this bodily functions that required attention, okay? And I'm just saying, okay, it was a lot of work. And you've grown up, and they have cared for you. They have provided for you. They have loved you. They have sought to do what is right toward you. Let me ask you what's fair, that you obey or not obey. When you say, Mom, Dad, I don't want to listen to what you want to do. I know you're giving me food and shelter and clothing, and you let me go to the sports activities I want to go to, and you let me, but I don't want to obey you. Let me ask, what's fair here? Because I think the fairness chart here, if you want to, like, you know, the fairness, I think Mom and Dad are being unfairly treated by you kids. Now, I'm not saying you kids right now, but I'm just saying that's a possibility, right? Think about it that way. What's right? What is right? It's right that you obey them. Not only is it right in that way, but it's also right because that's the structure that God has set in place. That's the order that God has put in place. He's given you your mom and dad as the authority structure in your life. And they care and they love you. Listen, we need to understand that this is in most cases. We understand there are broken families in which this isn't the case. But this is the design that God intended. And probably most of you kids in here, most of you parents have a home that fairly well conforms to that. They love you. Wouldn't it be right to obey? And then finally, because obedience is tied to a promise. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise. And we're going to talk about how that's the first command. That would be another topic at some point. But what is this promise he's talking about? Well, let's look specifically at what he says. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, so that it may be well with you. So that it may be well with you. And then, so that you may live long on the earth. And so there's kind of two parts of that promise. So that it may be well with you, and so that you will live long on the earth. Well, let's go back here. We need to unpack a little bit about what that means, because let's talk about what it does mean first and what it doesn't mean. Okay? So what it does mean. The Proverbs talk a great deal about discipline and about fools and about life and about not listening and listening. And so let's look at a few of these. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who heeds reproof is prudent. A fool doesn't listen to mom and dad. Now, he goes on in that same, a little bit earlier, he says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. The way of the fool says, this is right, this is right. And this is the teenager saying, mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. I've got this figured out, and I'm going to just go ahead. I'm just going to do it because they're kind of losers, right? The fool says, this is right in my eyes. But the wise man listens to counsel. And then look at this, Proverbs 21:20. There is a precious treasure in oil in the dwellings of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. So let's tie that together, this idea of foolishness, and put it into this context. What he's saying here is that wise people, they don't burn through their stuff. Wise people take care, they're disciplined. They're disciplined in life, and they don't burn through stuff and end up in poverty. But a fool is going to swallow it all up. And we've all known the fool who inherits big time money from mom and dad, and within 2, 3, 4 years or less, it's gone. And now he's destitute. What happened? The fool just swallowed it all up. You see, there is this promise of a goodness to your life, a flourishing that is a product of your obedience and learning what it means to be disciplined, to adhere and to follow. True prosperity is a flourishing of the life of Christ in you that results in an eternal joy, though. That's ultimately what he's talking about here. The prosperity that he's talking about, what we're talking about, is a flourishing in the life of Christ in you that results in an eternal joy. This is not a promise to say that disciplined or obedient kids are not going to die young. That is not the promise. Now, listen, is it more likely that a disobedient kid will die young? It absolutely is. I don't know if you heard about the story this last week in Florida where three teenage girls, a 16-year-old and two 15-year-old girls, stole a car. Now, apparently it was like the seventh car they had stolen, but they got into a high-speed chase with the police. The driver lost control, and the car careened off into a swamp. Apparently, the deputies went out and tried to go in and rescue them and found that they couldn't because they would sink and be in jeopardy themselves. And so they stood by and watched this car submerge itself into 15 feet of water and three teenage girls drown. Were those, in all respect to the families, in all respect to the tragedy that is a huge tragedy, is it not? But do you see, in fact, the news interviewed a neighbor and she said this could have been prevented. How? The neighbor says if they would have obeyed mom and dad. Now, in this case, maybe they didn't have a mom and dad to obey, right? I don't know. But you get the point. Disobedience leads to a shorter life in many cases. Drugs and alcohol and all of those things that you disregard mom on, they lead to a shorter life. But there's no guarantee that righteous people, righteous kids won't die. In fact, Isaiah 57, 1 and 2 says this, the righteous man perishes and no man takes it to heart. And devout men are taken away while no one understands, for the righteous man is taken away from evil. Do you see he's saying here, the righteous men do die young, but the righteous man is removed from the evil of the world. And then he goes on to say, and he enters into peace. This is that eternal life, that flourishing in Christ that he's talking about. the long life that he's talking about is not so much the long life in this world, although that's definitely a part of it, could be, but it's the long life of eternity. Okay, so we've talked about obedience. What is obedience? Why obey? Now, parents, why should you require obedience? Why should you require obedience of your children? We live in a culture in which this isn't necessarily a given, that we require obedience. But I'm going to argue that you should. First of all, the command for children to obey parents clearly implies that the parents ought to expect obedience from their children. The command for children to obey their parents clearly implies that the parents ought to expect that obedience. Because parents, mom and dad, you want your child obeying Scripture, right? And the Bible says, children, obey your parents. So shouldn't you then be seeking to do what you can as a mom and dad to bring about that obedience? Doesn't it imply that there should be an expectation the kids would obey? Now, please, I want to stop here for just a second. And I want to say, listen, listen, we raised three kids. I know this is difficult. I know raising kids is tough. And it's especially tough in this world in which we live today. And so I don't want you to hear this message because I know that some, this might sound really heavy to moms and dads. Listen, God is gracious to you in this. God, I had a great friend, a pastor, who, when we were raising our kids, came alongside and gave us this counsel. He said, you know, Kelly and Tammy, if you guys just get 50% of this right, you'll be okay. Okay, I don't know if we hit the 50% mark or not, but it was encouraging to know that you're not going to get this right all the time. However, you do have an obligation biblically to strive toward this. Okay, why? Why require obedience? Well, first of all, because the welfare of your child depends upon it. The welfare of your child depends upon it. Do you see the connection between that statement and this promise? You parents, you're supposed to raise up your kids in obedience to you. There's a promise if they obey. Help them learn to obey so that they can reap the benefits of that promise. The Proverbs help us here when it comes to the child's welfare. In Proverbs 13, 18, and 24, it says this first, poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who heeds reproof will be honored. So do you want this for your child? Do you want your child to be free of poverty and shame? Well, he goes on in the Proverbs then, and he says this, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Do you see the connection? If I am, as a parent, diligently disciplining my children, not sparing the rod of discipline for them, it's because I love them and I know that them obeying me leads to a flourishing life. Do you love your children? Discipline them. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there is hope and do not desire his death. Discipline your son while there's hope and do not desire his death. We'll talk more about this when I get back, and we'll connect this to the gospel, and we'll help understand how this plays out in respect to the gospel. But I think we can begin to see that as parents, we ought to expect obedience from our kids, and we ought to work toward achieving that obedience from them, because on a temporal level, it's going to benefit them. It's going to preserve them. I don't know how many times our kids were in situations growing up where, and I've told a few of these stories along the way, but I don't have time to tell any of this morning, but there were so many times where the kids were doing something that was very dangerous if they didn't stop. And being able to say, stop that now, and have them obey me was vital to their health and welfare. If you're not cultivating a situation in which your kids are listening to you in the timing that you expect, you may end up in a situation where they don't, it's that 5 second little spot where they didn't listen to you. And I know that's scary. And listen, please don't misunderstand me here. You can't control all of this. You can't control that. You can't control your kids. God's in control. Turn them over to the Lord. But that doesn't exonerate you from taking responsibility to discipline your children and help them learn what it means to obey. Discipline provides protection for your child, but more importantly, teaches him or her how to obey Christ. That's the most important thing that you're doing. You, mom and dad, are a conduit for your child to obey Christ. And from little on, you're teaching them what that looks like. Lord willing, you are obeying Christ. You're obeying Him with the heart. And you're obeying Him in every way. You're leading Him. But as you teach your child to obey, you're saying, son, daughter, this is what it looks like to obey Christ. And as they grow, they'll learn more and more what that looks like. And you'll have kids that are more inclined toward Jesus, more inclined toward Him than if you just neglect this. So why require obedience? Because the welfare of your child depends upon it, and because the order of your home depends upon it. The order of your home depends upon disciplined kids. Proverbs say, 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to him who bore him. A foolish son, remember, spare the rod and spoil the child, that leads to a foolish child. The scriptures in another passage say, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from them. Parents, you have a responsibility to kind of expunge this foolishness from your child. But if you're not working, if you're not laboring to bring discipline, you're not working to get rid of this foolishness. And so you have a foolish son, and that foolish son will be a grief to his father and bitterness to him who bore him. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. I told you a story a couple weeks ago about this mother at the pool with her kids. If you don't remember this, if you weren't here, a mom had there. She was there with her kids, and she had her little son playing and swimming in the pool, and she was dressed nicely, ready to go to an appointment, and she was telling him to get out of the pool, and he wasn't listening to her, and eventually she had to go into the pool and to get him, fully clothed. And there were all of those people sitting around watching. You see the shame that she felt because the child wasn't disciplined. Now, please, don't misunderstand me here, because I am not wanting to motivate you, mom and dad, by shame. That's not a good motivator. Okay, but listen, the order of your home does depend upon kids, disciplined kids. So why do we do this? Well, because the Lord wants your child to grow up in a home that's structured and that has good order to it. That there's security and there's safety there. And discipline brings that. Why require obedience? Well, because the order of society depends upon it. The order of society depends upon it. The order of society begins in home. The security, the quietness, the tranquility of a nation starts in the home. When the home gets broken, and when kids are not being raised in environments that are healthy, it just has this unraveling effect in all of culture. And I think, listen, don't we see this? Don't we just see this in our world today? The scriptures say in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now, we've misunderstood this passage, because oftentimes our kind of church leadership gurus will take this passage and they'll say, oh, you need a vision statement. That's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about a vision. He's talking, in fact, this could probably be translated more revelation. Where there is no prophetic revelation, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. You see that connection to keeping the law? What you have here is you have a structure in which the goodness of God is being imparted to the kids and to the society, where the right things are being explained and understood, and people are obeying and they're following the law. But when that doesn't happen, when I am not preaching the gospel, when the church is not working toward advancing the gospel in the world, where we're disregarding revelation, we're disregarding the word, the people are unrestrained. Isn't that where we are? And this starts in the home. It starts in the home. How often does a child grow up in a home in which there is abuse? And that child grows into an adult and abuses. How often do families just get fractured in so many ways, and that fracture results in more and more fracture to the unraveling of a culture and society? Let me close on this thought. I was over in Africa, And a student asked me, he said, Kelly, these are hard. How do we change this? How do I change this? How do I, because these are big deals, big, you know, we're talking about society here. How do I change this? I said, well, you change. You be the change. You be the change. Put your hand up to culture and say, I'm not going with you anymore. Our world's been telling you that discipline, the way the church has understood this and the way we've long understood this, the world is saying, that doesn't work, that doesn't work. Well, guess, look at, is it working? What the world is doing, is it working? It's time for us to put up our hand and say, no, there's a better way. There's a way to lead our kids to Christ. There's a way to lead them to Jesus through the way I display and declare the gospel to them by leading them in discipline, by helping them. Now, we'll talk, like I said, when I get back here in a couple of weeks, we'll talk more about this and what this looks like and how to do this well, because Paul gives some counsel here. Last thing, obedience brings pleasure to God and prosperity to all. So for all of us, obedience brings pleasure to God and prosperity to all. Do you know him? Do you know Christ? Do you love him? Are you obeying him? Are you obeying him from your heart? Tough questions. Wrestle with that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time that we've had this morning. I thank you for the grace that you've shown us. Lord, these are difficult subjects as we unpack what it means to obey, and particularly as from the parent side. Lord, I know that we all have struggled. I know that you know that Tammy and I struggled many, many times in confusion and not knowing exactly how to bring this about in our family. But Lord, you are gracious to us, and ultimately you're in control of our kids. Help us as parents, especially, Lord, to turn our kids over to you. But Lord, beyond just kids and moms and dads, for all of us, Lord, may we be willing as a people to love you and to believe you, to put our faith and trust in you, and to obey you as a result. Lord, help our desire to be for you, and not just to do because you've told us, but because we love you, because we know that you love us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.